Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day. He's blessed us with an opportunity for us to gather together to worship Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, before we begin our lesson this morning, I don't know how many of you have realized this or not, but there's not going to be any mail tomorrow. Okay, a lot of the banks are going to be closed tomorrow. And that's because it's a special day tomorrow. Okay? It's Veterans Day. So, just in honor of Veterans Day, I would like to ask all of you who are here this morning that have served in our military, all of you who are veterans, if you would stand so we can recognize you, please. Amen. Thank you. It is because of what you have done in your service and the service of millions of other people that we are allowed the freedom to be able to gather here this morning to be able to worship God. And so I don't take that lightly. Okay, and I do appreciate very much. Especially tomorrow when you're out about doing whatever it is you're doing, you see a service member out there, give them the thanks. Okay?
Amen.
What a great service you have done. We are continuing our study on Not a Fan. And just a kind of a program note for you, the video series will end tonight. We'll have the sixth in our sixth lesson series this evening, 6 o'clock here. But then as Ted announced, next Sunday we're going to come back. We want to ask you to come back again. We're going to have just opportunity for some discussion on that. But also that you know that the lessons that we're doing on Sunday mornings are going to continue on really through the end of this year. We will finish this series towards the end of this year, and we have another series that we will be beginning the first of the new year coming up. Another exciting series called Gods at War, just to kind of prepare you for that. As we have been looking at this study series, being not a fan but a true follower of Jesus, hopefully it has been challenging you to look at your relationship with Jesus and to find out and ask yourself the really serious question, am I just a fan of Jesus or am I a true follower? And as we have said and talked about many, many times in this, to realize the difference, one of the big differences between fans and followers is that fans sit in the stands and they cheer and they rally and they hold up the signs and, you know, we're number one and so on. But the followers are the ones who are actually on the field laying it down. See? Are you a fan or are you a follower? This morning, we're going to talk about arriving at our destination. Okay? Want to make sure, and this again is one of those things that, you know, it's a time for us to look at ourselves and to really question and challenge and honestly examine which direction am I going? Am I going to get where I want to get? You see? So it's about arriving at our destination. How many of you have seen some of the commercials on TV for the insurance commercials, the GPS, the guy's driving down the road and the GPS on his dashboard says, turn right. So he immediately turns right and drives right into, you know, the storefront or what have you. Comical, and it kind of drives home the idea, though, that GPS devices, as great as they are, and I love mine, okay, I rely on it all the time. The thing I like about it is you can change the voice on it, okay? The old one that I had two real problems. Number one, it thought that my house was actually half a block down the road from where it really is. Okay, so it wasn't as accurate as it really needed to. And the other thing is I didn't like that lady talking back to me all the time. You know? And so every time she would say, you know, turn right here, and I know I'm not turning right there because I know I'm going to go around here. And then she would go, recalculating. Well, my new GPS doesn't do that. She's got a real pleasant voice. She doesn't argue. She doesn't fuss. She just changes the direction and says, you know, and goes on with where I'm trying to go. But I still realize that she's not as accurate as it really needs to be. There are always flaws in the system. The real point that I'm trying to make with that is to help us to really understand the importance of us making sure that we are going in the right direction. See? In other words, I think that what happens to a lot of Christians is that they're too busy relying on other people to give them the directions to where they really want to go. And yes, that could be helpful, but at the same time, it's our responsibility to make sure that we're checking the directions and that we're going down the right road. You see? It's always important for us to accept the responsibility for the journey that we are on in our relationship with Christ. In other words, we're not going to get to, you know, go to the judgment and stand before Christ and say, well, Lord, you know, I would have been on the right road if so-and-so hadn't told me to go this way or that way. That's one reason why I always encourage you to check your Bibles. Turn to the pages. Read what's there. And make sure that what you're being told, what I'm telling you, is true. Okay? I'm not infallible. It hurts for me to say that. Okay? I could make a mistake. I could. In fact, I did make a mistake one time. There was one time when I thought I was wrong and I wasn't. Okay, do I have your attention? You see, we have to accept that responsibility because when we stand before the Lord, it's going to be, you know, you and Him, me and Him, you. And so we've got to check the direction that we are going in. I want to call your attention to the passage that was read for us as we began this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I want you to notice a couple of things, significant things here that Jesus says about this time. Okay? This judgment time when we're going to have to face Him. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." And notice that He says, "And many there be that enter through it." Many are going to enter through the wide gate that leads to destruction. And that's not the destination that they would necessarily choose for themselves. You see, the destination, my destination, I don't know about you, but my destination is heaven, eternal life with God. But notice that Jesus goes on here and He says, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life." That's the road I want to be on. And He says, "Few there be that find it." You see, so there's a contrast between this many and the few. The many that are on the road to destruction. And I'm suggesting to you that I think there are many people that are on that road to destruction who think they're on the road to life. You see? Because they're relying on their GPS system completely and totally to take them where they want to go. Instead of relying on God's Word. You see? You see, God has given us a map, hasn't He? It's right here. It's His Word. It tells us how to get to where we want to go, to life. And if you don't read the map, then you're not going to find the right road. And if you read the map but you don't follow it, you go, well, you know, hey, I know a better way. Anybody ever done that? Come on, guys, be honest. Right? Okay. Our wives are over there saying, the map says turn here. We go, I know a better way. Right? I know a shortcut. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I know a shortcut. So we'll just take the shortcut. And then a little while later, going, where are we? I don't know. You see, there's some really important lessons in that for us to realize that there are no shortcuts when it comes to getting to heaven. There's no shortcuts that we can take, you see, in order to find that road to life and to be on it. There's only one road that leads to life. Jesus is talking here. You see? And so we need to make sure that we're going in the right direction on the right road, so that we end up in the right place and not relying on someone else to tell us there. As I was indicating before, I don't want you to take my word for anything. Don't trust me with your eternal life that much. Okay? Don't trust me that much. Because if you try to go to heaven and you're standing there before God and He says, why didn't you do this? You say, well, Brother Russ was telling me this. He's going to say, I'm going to take care of Brother Russ. Okay? But in the meantime, you see, and that's not what you want to hear. So don't rely on the shortcuts. Don't rely on your own desire to go this way or that way. Don't rely on someone else telling you. Yes, we can rely on, and we should be, guiding and helping and encouraging, but we still need to make sure that what we're being told is true. That we are on the right road to life. How many of you are familiar with the song by Colin Ray, came out several years ago, called That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It? Yeah? Okay, we got some country music fans in here. Okay? Yeah. Well, that's the topic of this next part here that Jesus talks about, beginning in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many, there's that word again, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works. And then I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity. Or some translations say, you evildoers. See? Jesus makes it very, very clear that it's not just what we say, but it's what we do. See? Saying is one thing, but doing is, as they say, the proof in the pudding. You see, there are a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus. But the problem is their belief has no real impact on their daily lives. It doesn't really affect it one way or another. But if you were to ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They would affirm, absolutely. I believe in Jesus and I believe He's the Son of God. And I believe I'm going to heaven. But I don't try to mix my religion in with my daily life. See, it has no real impact whatsoever. They say they believe, but their actions don't back it up. See? Let me give you an example. Okay? How many of you, just show of hands if you want to, how many of you believe that eating healthy and exercising is good for your health? How many of you believe that? Okay, almost everybody in here. Some of you are deniers. Okay. I believe that too. As I stand here before you, at least 45 pounds overweight, because I don't eat healthy. I eat junk food and stuff that's not the healthiest for me. And many of you do the same thing, don't you? You see, my point is that, yes, I believe that it's true. I believe that eating healthy is the best thing and exercising is the best thing. The problem is I don't do it. I admit that to you. It's a struggle for me every day. You see? The belief is there, but the action is not following it. And I'd like to, you know, blame all kinds of things on it, but it just basically comes down to willpower. You know, I believe it, but I don't do it. And you see, the point is that in terms of believing in Jesus, a lot of people are doing exactly the same thing. They believe in Jesus, but their life is not showing that belief. It's not being demonstrated, in other words. And what we have to understand is belief is not something we just confess with our mouth. It's something we confess with our life. You see, if I really, really intently believed in this health stuff, then I would change my eating habits and exercise habits. I believe it to a point, but not to the point that I'm willing to sacrifice my cheeseburgers and my candy and my cake and all of those things. You see, in other words, I'm a fan of healthy living, but I'm not a follower. You see? And I think it's the same thing when it comes to following Jesus. It's easy to say, yeah, I believe, but it's quite another to actually follow through with our daily lives. And so let me ask you this question. What is your faith story? And what I mean by that is, if you go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and you look at what the writer there is telling us, it's this chapter that we oftentimes refer to as the Great Faith chapter, right? And what he does is he lists all these people from the Old Testament times that are people of great faith in God. But he doesn't just give a list of names. In other words, he doesn't just say, okay, let me give you all these names of the people of great faith. No, instead he goes through and he tells us a little bit about their story of faith. Why are they considered to be people of great faith? Not because of what they said, but of what they did. You see? And he tells us in that chapter their story of the faith that they have. And so, you see, in the same way, our faith should have a story backing it up. If it doesn't, then it's just a proclamation. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, what's your story? And not only what's your story, but are you sticking to it? That is, in your daily life. You see, what I want to try to do in my life every day is I want to have my story of faith, my belief in Jesus, and that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it today in my life. As I go through this day, and as Satan comes and attacks me, I want to stick to my story. So what's your story? What's your faith story, and are you sticking to it? Because faith without a story is not really faith. It's just a proclamation. And then, finally, it becomes a matter of will. Okay? Again, go back to verses 21 through 23. And notice something very important about what Jesus is saying here. In this picture of the judgment, you see, what we have to understand is what we do is as important as what we say we believe. It's not enough just to proclaim. We have to, again, have a story. We've got to do something. But we can't just do anything. Jesus is very specific here, isn't he? In fact, he makes a contrast here between those who, in a sense, are doing what they want to do, even though they're good works, and those who are doing the will of the Father. See? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father. Okay? Now, you know, highlight, underline, whatever it is you do to really make something stick out to your in your mind, the will of the Father. You see, Jesus goes and he contrasts the will of the Father to the people who are doing what they want to do. And by the way, they're doing a lot of good things, aren't they? They're doing good spiritual things, you know, godly things. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name do many wonderful works? So it's not like they're not doing anything. They're actually doing stuff and they're doing it in the name of the Lord. What's the problem? They're doing what they want to do, not what God wants them to do. You see? It's about doing the will of the Father, not about doing what we want. You see, I think there's a lot of fans out here, a lot of Christians who are out doing a lot of good things. But they're doing things that they've chosen to do, you see? And said, yeah, this is a needful thing. Yeah, this is a good work. And I'm going to do this for the Lord. And won't He be happy with me? But if that's not what He wants done, it's not His will, then you may as well not be doing it, according to what Jesus is saying. You see, it's not a matter of piling up a whole lot of great works and saying, look what I did, Lord. Welcome me into your kingdom. He says, no, depart from me. I never knew you. But wait a minute, Lord, what about all these good things I did in your name? I never knew you. Okay. So it's not just about doing things, it's about doing God's will in the things that we are doing. Does that make sense? Okay. So we need to make sure that what we're doing is not what we want to do, but what He wants us to be doing. And here's the final question that I want to leave you with to think about. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song here as an invitation song, and I want you to be thinking about this one because this is a serious, serious question. Okay? Perhaps one of the most important questions that you will ever ask yourself. What will Jesus say to you in the judgment? Depart from me, I never knew you? Or, well done, my good and faithful servant. What will He say to you? You see, because what He says to you will determine whether or not you arrive at the right destination. A lot to think about, isn't it? Maybe somebody here this morning, maybe stepped on some toes. I don't apologize for that. Maybe challenge you to think about some things going on in your life to say, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I'm not going in the right direction I thought I was. If it calls you to re-examine, to look at what are you doing, where are you going, what road are you on, then I've accomplished what I want to accomplish this morning. And if you have perhaps maybe said, I'm not sure I'm on the right road, I'm not sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing, then, hey, let's make sure you get there in the right direction. Okay? There's someone here this morning who's, you're not giving your life to Christ, you're not a Christian. You're still separated from God by your sins. And you will remain so until you repent of those sins and have them washed away in the waters of baptism. I'm here to tell you right now, you can do that right now this morning. You don't have to wait. No special time, no special day, no special event. You can do that right now this morning if you're ready to give your life to Christ and to become a completely committed follower of His. Then confess Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. If there's some other need that we can help you with, we can't help you if we don't know what it is. So we offer this time and this opportunity for anyone to come and to say, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and I need some prayers, I need some help, I need direction, I need whatever. And we'll do the best we can to help you to do that. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. Let's stand together and sing.